this Mariah Carey story in Rolling Stone is just so funny. And I think Rolling Stone interviewed her and told her, hey, you're going to make the cover. It's going to be great.
Oh,
and then
she fell for it.
They spent a few days with her, and they decided, you know what? We don't ever want to talk to her again, so why don't we just blow her up?
What a nut. Almost every single thing she says is just bizarre. Look at the photographs. I mean, she's so into herself.
She's such a skank. Yeah,
oh, my God. Does she think she looks great?
She's in this picture, just a brown sheet kind of wrapped around the key parts of her body.
Yeah, anything to hide the size of her legs and her ass.
Anyway, it starts out, it's past midnight. Mariah doesn't usually allow herself caffeine at this hour because she's an insomniac and has a low tolerance for things that make you speedy, to quote her. Still, she asks if I mind sharing a splash of my Diet Coke, reasoning she's in an awake moment anyway. Among her sort of Mariah-ism, the concept of moments looms large. In the course of the evening, she refers to precisely 49 different kinds of moments. Analytical moments, schmaltz moments, fairy tale moments, complete truth moments, celebratory moments, biblical moments, diva moments. In 2001, following the embarrassing TRL moment, Mariah says, that's their quote, Mariah says she had her share of bleak moments and even a couple of woe is me moments. Her favorite canary color bathing suit from when she was 9, she says, was a clingy to the body moment. As is her current ensemble, painted on jeans and an itty bitty white tank top with the number 17 ironed on the front in bold black numbers. Digits.
Yeah, again, I say to match the size of her jeans, which have to be a 17.
And she says to match the number of number one singles she's amassed. She irons a 17 on the front of her tank top.
Oh, God, how arrogant. Oh, God.
Stupid.
I know. Why don't you just put a sandwich board on her? I sold 17.
The funny thing is, I've always known that what I really love to be commercially successful. People ask me, isn't this really the vindication of Mariah Carey? She's referring to her current album, you know, which I guess had pretty low expectations after Glitter.
Yeah.
Not really, because my whole life has been a series of overcoming obstacles. Since I've always had to struggle, I've always expected that I will have to struggle. Mariah arrives characteristically late for dinner, so she's always late, obviously.
I'm amazed she would be late for dinner, though.
Yeah, that's
based
true.
On the size of her ass.
And it's
I
just,
think if she'd be on time for one thing, it would be food.
Yeah, good point. And she's eating just around the corner from her apartment. But she is also characteristically apologetic about it. Affecting exaggerated fabulosity, she purrs, "Sorry, darling, the pedicurist fell on her orange stick. Stitches were required."
Oh, God, is that corny.
I know. And then without missing a beat.
Oh.
What are we drinking? Wine? Vodka has fewer calories. All right, you twisted my arm. I'll have a glass of wine.
Oh, God. Oh, God. And we're off and running.
Yep.
Oh, man. How corny.
Her trainer, Patricia, is supposed to show up the next day to whip her into shape for the Grammys.
Oh, that's a monumental task.
She's concerned about looking her best because of the jab she took about the low-cut number she wore a week earlier at the Golden Globes, custom designed for her by Karl Lagerfeld. "The winner for the too-tight dress goes to Mariah Carey," wrote one critic. "She takes the cake and eats it, too," said another.
Carey, ouch.
According to my 17-year-old, blew up like a truck tire. Satin is a very unforgiving fabric, Mariah notes. And what was I going to do? Call frickin' Karl Lagerfeld and say, "Could you please make it out of Jersey instead?" Of course, Mariah's used to having her outfits panned. She made Mr. Blackwell's worst dress list last year. "The world applauds your musical emancipation, but please leave that body to our imagination."
Please, we're begging you. God, that's just it. Anybody that's that big to be so scantily clad all the time. Always, always plunging necklines and skirts that just clear her big fat ass. Although, as we saw with the Grammys, finally she put a ton of cloth to hide that ass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. She had the plunging neckline, but thank God she wrapped that big ass up.
That's a huge bitch!
Rolling Stone says she often, let's face it, wears clothes tighter, tinier, and generally more hooched out than most 35-year-old women.
Yeah.
Still, though, not a Zellwegerian stick figure by any stretch of the jersey, the 5'8" Mariah is considerably leaner than you might expect. Not so much full-figured as sturdy. She says she always tended to be muscular and notes that in seventh grade she beat every boy in her class at arm wrestling.
Oh, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, that's something we...
How feminine.
We can't wait to hear about this hot singer.
That's a huge bitch! How wonderful.
A little
strong right arm, that should attract somebody.
I can't try competing with people that weigh 80 pounds soaking wet when, look, I'm ethnic. I've got a butt, and I want to keep it because I like it.
I'm ethnic. What?
Yeah, it grows and shrinks and it grows. That's
mostly
what it does.
Mostly grows. Mostly grows, honey.
I'm going to pull it together and be as thin as I can for the Grammys, but there's only a certain amount of weight I want to lose.
There's only a certain amount of weight you can lose. You'll always be weighed on a truck scale, bitch. Sorry.
Mariah's big voice may be your greatest source of pride. It is, in her words, her instrument.
Your mouth says no, but your fat gut says yes.
Her throat is her instrument, huh?
Yes. Her voice is her instrument.
Oh, I see. I could say something, but I won't.
I really have a need to express myself. Of course, there was a time when expressing yourself was an uphill battle for Mariah. They laughed at me at the label when I played the My Fantasy remix with Dirty Old Dirty Bastard. They, one person, was like, what the hell is this? I could do that. But you can't explain to someone who didn't grow up on hip-hop and who's wanting to listen to the Goodfellas soundtrack exclusively that this is hot and it will be a classic. It's not Mariah's style to name names, whether she's dishing about a certain female artist who got skinny with the help of illegal pharmaceuticals, or whether she's referring to her less than obliquely to her ex-husband, former Sony chief Tommy Mottola. It was Mottola who discovered Mariah and signed her to a Columbia Records deal after a friend passed Mariah's demo taped him at a party in 1988. Now, I don't even believe that story, by the way. The story that this person she knows passed a tape to Tommy Mottola. I think she greased the skids with Tommy Mottola somehow.
Oh, hell yeah. No question about it. Her theory has always been just marry the guy that owns the record label and then she's an instant star. That's what she did.
Mottola,
not fooling anybody.
Mottola and Mariah became romantically involved shortly thereafter, and once he divorced his wife, the pair married in 1993. But it's well known by now Mariah was miserable in a relationship, which she calls abusive, and one that purposely preyed on every insecurity I have. The couple divorced 5 years later when Mariah still had a couple albums remaining in her deal with Sony.
Was he the guy that was so much older than her?
Yeah, he's like 45.
Yeah.
And she was 23 or something.
Yeah. Like
it was a real struggle being there while still having a certain person in power and being divorced from him. Things got awkward when you're dealing with someone who's obsessed, angry, and powerful. Leaving him was one of the toughest things I've ever done. It's very easy to manipulate someone when you're 20-plus years older than them. Whatever. I'm not placing blame. Oh, no. No, that doesn't sound like blame at all.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all.
Nobody held a gun to my head. She pauses and smiles. At least, I don't think anybody held a gun to my head. I hate her.
Linda Lovelace.
When Patricia Carey gave birth to a 7-pound baby girl, I'm sure it wasn't a 17-pound baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
On March 27, 1970, the nurse turned to her and said, that's going to be one lucky baby. Patricia, an opera singer, even gave her daughter a moniker she knew would work as a stage name, Mariah Carey.
Oh, man.
From the time...
Instead of lucky, I think they said big. just changed history.
From the time Mariah was old enough to remember, Patricia told her, you're going to be a star, Mariah. My mother was never like, get out there and sing, but her attitude is very much like, don't say if I make it, say when I make it. I don't know if it was pressure, but whatever it was, it sold me. I believed it and also had a need to make music, and I had a need to elevate myself from where I was. And I knew I didn't want to grow up and be in that, dare I say, tax bracket.
Oh, God.
I was like...
Oh, how conceited.
I want to grow up and have this glamorous life.
Oh, even if I do have to marry a guy that just blows dust, come out of the bedroom every night looking like a mime.
Now, her mother sounds like an absolute
kook. Anything to be a star.
Her parents met in the late 50s in New York. Her mother went to Manhattan to try to meet Yul Brynner.
Oh, man.
She had a thing for Yul Brynner, and she went to Manhattan to try to meet him.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Alfred, who was part Venezuelan, part African-American, was living in Brooklyn, where he was the lone This is Mariah. Where he was the lone black man driving around in a Porsche with his head shaven. Now, wait a second. If she was in this tax bracket when she was a kid, how is her father driving a Porsche? Anyway, he was the hot tamale of the moment, and I guess he kind of resembled Yul Brynner.
Oh,
how can this guy resemble Yul Brynner?
Oh, what, just because
he's a black guy driving around in a Porsche? Does that sound like Yul Brynner?
It was just because his head was shaved. That was it.
My mom saw him and said, "There he is." And her friend was like, "That ain't nobody but Roy Carey." My mom said, "Well, I want to meet him." After they married, the Careys moved to the North Shore of Long Island to raise their three children, Mariah, her brother Morgan, and her sister Allison. Allison's the whore now. Allison's an HIV-positive whore.
Oh, okay.
Mariah dresses sluttier than her HIV-positive whore sister. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I've seen pictures of her whore sister. It's not even close who dresses more slutty. Not even close.
Well, I believe you all the way on that. I mean, Mariah, really, she's constantly nearly nude.
The community did not respond well to the interracial family, and they endured not only sneers and nasty comments, but also having their car set on fire and their pets poisoned. I don't even believe that.
I don't either.
I really don't.
And that's the thing about this article. She's always going back and reinventing history and reinventing her childhood, so she's one of these tortured people that have just overcome a billion obstacles
to be
the great star.
She's tortured every second of her life, according to her.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I absolutely believe that's fabricated.
Poisoned their pet.
Ah, bull. No way.
By the time Mariah was three, her parents had split up.
Oh, woe is her.
In the ensuing years, Patricia and the children moved 13 times.
Yeah.
Probably six times.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. No, that's no big deal. That's about how often I've moved, too. And my mother constantly wanted to chase my aunt. No matter where my aunt moved, we had to follow.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
The children.
Times. We moved 15 times. I got her on that.
Getting settled in at a new school was always a challenge for Mariah, who says she never quite fit in with either the white kids or the black kids. Additionally, Allison, the whore sister, reportedly was involved with drugs and prostitution, and at 15 had given birth to a son, Sean, with whom Mariah is still extremely close.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure she's so close.
Yeah, sends her a check all the time, right?
Though Mariah says she is legally constrained from providing specifics, and listen to this. Rolling Stone believes that she and her sister have signed a non-disclosure agreement preventing each from talking about the other.
Is that right?
Why
is that
in the world
bad, huh?
Would two sisters need to sign a contract like that?
Wow.
What does her sister have on Mariah?
Something big. Wow. That's really out there. How?
Well, that's
got to
be
dysfunctional, brother.
Got to be something Tommy Mottola stuck in front of the sister when she was wasted or something.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's really out there.
She makes it clear that her life was fraught with peril, and she was often in scary situations. Her mother was away from home a lot, working two or three jobs to keep the family afloat.
Oh,
and I thought her father drove a Porsche.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Yeah, really.
And Mariah was forced to fend for herself. There was no adult, no teenager. The person left in charge had run out of the house. I was there alone.
Oh.
This is at age six.
Poor baby.
Well, I was very sensitive then, and I still am. I had very good hearing then, and I still do. I heard these words, and I'll never forget them. They said, if this kid makes it, it'll be a miracle. It was a defining moment for me. I think I must have been having spiritual injections to get through all the mess I've been through and not be a completely bitter, angry human being.
Oh, man.
What a nut.
What to say that's what she
nut.
Is anyway. Bitter, angry human being.
You're a liar and a whore.
She's had her moments.
You fat lark.
Said more than one fight that's played out in the media.
Well, she bitches out everyone.
Yeah, she does. She's hell on wheels.
Well, they do get into the TRL thing.
You fat lark.
Another frequent Mariahism. She's always saying she's eternally 12. Which could explain why she sometimes dresses like a preteen who happened on a Fredericks of Hollywood's catalog.
You fat lark.
There's something vaguely...
Eternally size 12.
This is funny. There's something vaguely adolescent about her diva-ishness. She requests that the waiter not place her meat on the same plate as her heart of palm. It's almost
is
like
that right?
Something she imagines a pretty, pretty princess would have done.
Oh, God. Oh, brother.
Her apartment, too, looks like it was decorated by a teenager run amok at Laura Ashley with flowery prints and crystal sconces.
Oh, no.
Her Jack Russell Terrier, Jack, even has his own miniature velvet sofa to sleep on.
Oh, jeez.
And she loves Hello Kitty just as much at 35 as she did at 12.
Oh,
only difference is...
you got to be kidding me.
She's got one of four bathrooms in her deluxe home decked out with an overwhelming array of Hello Kitty merchandise.
No way.
There's also the Marilyn...
there, looks like, what child lives here, right?
Yeah.
So where's the kid?
There's also the Marilyn Monroe bathroom, the butterfly bathroom, and her own personal bathroom where she soaks in a giant tub.
Yeah, I'll bet it's a giant tub to fit her big ass.
As part of her pre-bedtime wind-down routine.
She gets in that hot tub, looks like a wave pool, her big ass.
Oh, boy.
A butterfly room, a Marilyn Monroe room. Come on, Jerry.
And then she says she occasionally, on her rare nights off, will hit the clubs with Sean or DJ Clue or Rachel or Jasmine. But since smoke bothers her so much...
oh, no way.
She's more likely to invite friends over to watch her favorite DVDs. Mean Girls, Zoolander, 13 Going on 30.
Oh, nice. An entertainer that can't handle smoke.
Yeah, and watches the same three DVDs over and over and over.
Yeah,
and they do. That's kind of what they imply later on.
Oh, brother.
I love sleigh rides and Christmas and the Tower of Terror at Disney and silly movies.
Oh, man. She almost sounds like a female Michael Jackson in a way, doesn't she?
Well, it's probably just because that's what I sound like.
It
does sound a little bit like him, though, because she's stuck at 12.
I think it's the way you read it. No, well, that's true. Yeah, she's stuck at 12.
She's stuck at 12. I mean, just this Hello Kitty stuff in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean,
a ploy.
12 is significant for another reason. I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that I'm not 16, she continues,
God.
Lowering her voice the way she tends to do whenever the subject of sex or anything remotely related to sex comes up.
Oh, I see. Oh, then she goes into this sexy, lower voice. Oh, no.
Because 16-year-olds are sexually active and promiscuous, I guess because I have a family member who had a baby at 15, I definitely see myself as younger than that. In my mind, I thought 15 was old. When I was that age, most of my friends were having sex. But even if I had boyfriends, it was like, I'm going on to bigger and better things, and I'm not going to screw up my life.
Mostly bigger.
At 12, I was also like a grown-up, too, because I've been a caretaker since a very early age. Oh, God.
Man, this woman.
So stupid.
Can't you see whenever something sexy comes up, and then she just tries to be all provocative and... just lowers her voice, thinking she's turning on the reporter and everybody's sitting around. It's like, you big fat hog, get off
it. But she can't wait to tell anyone who will listen in every story I've ever read about her how she's only slept with less than the number of fingers she has on one hand.
What a lie.
I know.
What a huge fat lie.
But she constantly brings it up.
That lie's as big as her ass. That's something else. Why would she do that?
I don't know.
No one
she's really proud
that?
Of it. She's so proud of the fact that she won't sleep with anyone.
Wow.
She just thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
It's like all the schlongs were diverted to her sister.
So then she says she's been a caretaker since a very early age. Taking care of others. That is what Mariah says led to her infamous breakdown in 2001. Oh, I'm sure she's just so busy taking care of others.
Yeah.
No one ever has to take care of her.
Oh, no.
No, of course
not. She doesn't
require
any maintenance at all.
The story is notorious as part of a torrent of promotion for her movie Glitter and the album in the same name. Mariah made an impromptu appearance on Total Request Live where her behavior seemed erratic and she performed some kind of ill-conceived striptease. She insists the reaction was and continues to be overblown. I had three freaking layers of clothes on, she says. Shortly thereafter, she posted two recorded messages on her website that seemed to point at some kind of emotional collapse. I just can't trust anybody anymore right now because I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, jeez.
Mariah said, according to transcripts, have since been purged from the site.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
We'll pick it up there.
Okay.
We'll take a short
pretty good.
Break. Yeah. didn't really finish this Mariah Carey story. I think there's... started to read it on the air the other day. God, it's just... just amazing how Rolling Stone, I'm sure, told her, hey, you're going to be on the cover, and it's all good. And then they sat down with her, and she just blew them away with her idiocy. And they documented it very thoroughly. I'm trying to think where we left off. I think we were talking about... we were talking about her Hello Kitty bathroom, and she's obsessed with Hello Kitty.
Oh, God, what a baby.
I know.
Hello Kitty. Oh, God.
And her love of Christmas and Disney and the Tower of Terror. And
every time she says something, she just sounds like a nut.
I know where we left off. We left off with her once again telling us how she doesn't sleep with anybody. How no penis is good enough to get near her.
Plus, her childhood, she's just so tortured.
Yeah.
She's just gone through hell.
Well,
it's
the
amazing
words,
that she's conquered all of these terrible things that life has dealt her.
The words that ring in her head over and over, if this kid makes it, it'll be a miracle.
Yeah.
Did you want us to come over to shoot her?
And about her sitting on that old man Clyde and have him turn her into a mime every other night. The blast of powder.
Clive Davis.
Clive Davis, a big blast of powder from his ancient schlong.
Well, she married Tommy Mottola from Sony, but Clive is certainly in the mix there somewhere. And wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that just be beautiful if there was some porn film of her with Clive Davis?
Have her come out of there looking like dusty furniture from the Munsters set.
Yeah, so anyway, we kind of left off with her describing how, of course, no one's good enough to sleep with her. She said, you can count the penises. It's less penises than she has fingers on one hand that have experienced her.
Sure, yeah. As if who'd want her.
I know, who wants
badass?
Who wants that slob sitting on him?
I know it. Imagine that butt jiggling like that, like Jell-O.
Gross.
Big fat ass.
Well, they get into her her Total Request Live meltdown. And isn't it interesting that MTV will not replay this thing? Doggone it, that makes me mad.
Yeah.
Because that, apparently she really just Zulu'd out. And
boy, did she ever.
Her people are trying to tell us how it's all just due to exhaustion and...
Oh, sure.
Blah, blah, blah.
Everybody sees right through that. That's what's so dumb about that. Everybody's too stupid to get it. Everybody knows what happened.
Yeah, well, MTV!
Her therapist, who's a genius...
Of course.
You did not have a breakdown. You had a diva moment of exhaustion and a physical moment when your body couldn't take it and you got PO'd.
A diva moment of exhaustion.
That's likely in the psychiatric books, eh?
Yeah.
So she does the Glitter soundtrack. The movie bombs. The soundtrack bombs. Virgin Records had just signed her. That was her first record for Richard Branson and Virgin. And it was such a disaster, and her behavior was such a disaster that Branson said, what is it going to cost to make you get out of my life? What will it cost me? Just bill me.
Isn't
I want
funny?
You out of my life.
I can so picture him being like that over it.
Mm-hmm.
He just seems to be that kind of a guy. Didn't he pay something like $22 million to get rid of her?
$28 million. That's how worth it was to be rid of her.
Can you imagine?
You know what? I've got a lot of money. What's $28 million to have this headache out of my life?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even demand another record. Didn't even want another record.
I mean, that's how bad it was.
Did you want us to come over to shoot her?
$28 million just to not see that idiot again?
If they did another record, they'd have to work with her, and they'd have to deal with her.
Yeah, and lose their ass again.
She was wearing his people out.
Yeah.
So he really, you know, he did his employees a $28 million favor.
Oh, my God.
So then she comes back and says a few years ago... Okay, I want to hear it.
Yeah, please, no. Every song sounds the same, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same process voice, that same windy, whispery voice.
Ugh. Her father's dying of cancer. She's at his deathbed. This is so funny. What would you think you'd be doing at your father's deathbed? Well, you know, trying to explain just how much they meant to you, or, you know, something to that effect. Her goal on her father's deathbed is to explain to him just how difficult that time was for her. Can you imagine lying on your deathbed and Mariah Carey is trying to tell you how hard she has it? Boy, would I be miserable. I'd say, you know what? Just pull the plug. Anything to not listen to this.
Yeah. Send me
I don't have $28 million. I wish I was Richard Branson and I could just give you $28 million to go away. But
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to settle for pulling the plug.
Yeah. Send me down the tunnel. Send me like a pinball up the chute. Launch me, baby.
We were having this conversation and I was like, I feel like I've gone through the worst thing I could have ever gone through, with the exception of dying. He's dying. He's dying of cancer, she actually says that.
Isn't that amazing? isn't that incredible?
And all it is she made a record that bombed. Every record she's done since or before that has been a big success.
Yeah.
She has one record that bombs, and she has to, you know, let the world know how horrible this is. And
right. She's just so traumatized.
Yeah.
She has to go into seclusion and just cry and sob round the clock.
I don't think he really knew how bad it was for me then, because he's not the kind of guy to read the tabloids. I only wish he'd lived to see this, because I think this would have given him another kind of faith.
Oh.
And this business requires faith.
Oh. This business requires faith. Yeah. Yeah. Tell Branson that.
Though we have our festive glasses.
She's so self-centered.
I know,
man.
No, it's all about her.
It really is. What a narcissist. Go ahead.
Though we have our festive glasses in hand, the festive Mariah disappears and her chin starts to quiver. I have so much gratitude about where I'm at personally and professionally that I don't think I've even expressed it to anybody fully, because it's a teardrop moment.
Oh, that's right. She has these so-called moments. That's right. The article started with that, didn't it? They defined like 7, 8, 9 different moments.
No, she described 49 different kinds of moments.
49?
In the course of the conversation. Remember the clingy to the body moment?
Yeah.
Her bathing suit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's neat. Is there going to be any nudity?
So anyway, it's not even a teardrop moment. It's a well of tears moment.
This dress is 5 sizes too small moment.
I don't get down on my knees and thank God for every single thing that I have. I could have been somewhere in a gutter the way my life was going at 12.
Oh.
I could have been dead. I could have had a disease. I was in some very dangerous situations.
Listen to this.
And it's only by the grace of God that I survived.
Listen to this. What drama.
People can say whatever they want, but ultimately, I'm the same person I was before I became famous.
Oh.
I'm still the girl in the pictures on the wall downstairs in the yellow bikini.
Oh.
Well, she's still the girl. Apparently.
Yeah, only about 80 pounds fatter, though, bitch. Sorry to let you in on that, but...
Apparently, she's still the girl.
Four times as big.
In a lot of the in almost every picture, because... Her, I guess her apartments and homes are just really, what's the word I'm looking for? They're, they're shrines to her. They're shrines to her. Every picture is of her. The whole rooms are just full of pictures of Mariah Carey.
Isn't that strange how some stars do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where you'll see the star's home and it's like going up the stairs will be one picture after another of them.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just Mariah.
Yeah. That plus, remember every room had like some type of theme?
Well, the bathrooms did. The Hello Kitty bathroom, the Marilyn Monroe bathroom.
And then there was the mermaid room.
And let's not forget the shirt she's wearing for the interview with 17 ironed on. The bold black 17 ironed on for her 17th.
Which goes along with the 17 size tag on the collar.
So then she wraps up by saying, I wasn't anybody in the world back then. I was a little interracial child with a dysfunctional family. And I still am.
Oh, I see. Here comes the interracial stuff, huh?
Except I have money now.
I'm the product of, like, 3 or 4 different schlongs. I'm part black, part Mexican, part white, part I don't know.
So she's still that little interracial child with a dysfunctional family.
Oh.
But then she says, except I have money now. She lets out a low, husky giggle, and that helps.
Oh, and that what high maintenance.
Is a fitting ending for that story.
Boy, that bitch would just drain your battery instantly. Right down to zero. What a load on the system she is.
I think she told so many lies in this interview, starting with
her childhood. I think half that childhood stuff is all crap.
Well, I'm really inclined to think it's a lie, too, because she says she claims her mother went to New York to try to meet Yul Brynner and ends up settling for Roy Carey, her dad, who she says was the only shaven-headed man driving a black man driving a Porsche in New York at the time.
My God.
And then she goes on.
Ben Kojak.
She talks about how broke they were. Well, if he's driving a Porsche, why are they so broke when her parents divorce?
Yeah.
And she talks about how horribly discriminated against they were when they moved into this nice neighborhood. Well, how are you poor if you're in this nice neighborhood where people are poisoning your pets?
That's crap.
I doubt people poisoned her pets.
Yeah,
shut
that's
up.
Just to gain sympathy. She wants everybody just to fall all over her and admire her courage. Bitch.
Admire my courage, please.
Yes.